Father God, we do pray, send the light, the blessed gospel light. But Lord, may we come to understand that that prayer means there is an answer. And you've already sent the answer. And the answer, truthfully, is us. We can look in the mirror and see the answer to that prayer. You are sending your light to the world, but you're using us, the sons and daughters of the King. You're using us, your ambassadors. You're using us, those of us that you call a royal priesthood, a holy people of God. You're using us to make a difference for your kingdom's plan around the world. So thank you that we have the light of Jesus in us. Thank you that we can shine that light with others around us. And I pray that we would do so and enjoy hearing about that today. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be seated, please. It's great to see you, and we're glad that you're here to worship with us today. Today is what we call Missions Recap Sunday, where we will take just a moment to share throughout the service different missionaries, short-term missionaries, sharing a little bit of what happened in their different places of service this summer. But the Lord's really been working on my heart personally in the last few days with a quote that kind of just keeps rolling in my head over and over and over again. The desire is that all of us would bear fruit. We understand as we look at the lives of believers, we are fruit inspectors. We see the fruit that's growing on a tree. We see what's happening there. We see what is happening, what is being used for the kingdom of God. My heart's desire, and I hope it's yours too, my heart's desire is that I can bear fruit on other people's trees. Let me explain what I mean by that. Not that I'll just have some fruit and people will say, well, Pastor Chris, he did this and he was good at this or whatever was the case. But that by us investing in the world, investing the gospel all around the world, here locally and other places, as people come to know Jesus, as they bear fruit, that we'll realize we are bearing fruit on someone else's tree. What an incredible privilege that is for us. Well, this spring and summer, we were blessed to send over 80 short-term missionaries across the world to share the gospel and throughout the nation. This doesn't even include the 150 plus volunteers who served our committee on Serve the City Weekend, our community on Serve the City Weekend. We're talking about those that gave a significant amount of time to go different places. Oswald J. Smith said it best. He says, any church that is not seriously involved in helping fulfill the Great Commission has forfeited its biblical right to exist. The truth is, a church is not a church if the church doesn't believe in sharing the gospel with the world. The church is not a church if they're not about making disciples. Now, Albertville First Baptist Church, if we're honest, we're not the largest church in our area or state. But I'm thankful that we have a vision that far exceeds our size. It has been accurately said this way, that the mark of a great church is not its seating capacity, but its sending capacity. And we have the capacity to send every single person that comes in and out of these doors on mission for the Lord. So thank you for giving so that other people can go serve on mission. Thank you for giving so that our Southern Baptist missionaries can serve the world. In just a few weeks, we will have one of our IMB missionaries who serves, been in Japan serving for over 20 years, are going to come and share with us. He's from Sand Mountain, and not too many. Listen, he's been teaching people English in Tokyo, and so people in Tokyo don't realize they're walking around with the Sand Mountain accent. And so it's, but anyway, it's going to be interesting as Mark will come and share with us, and we look forward to him being with us. He's part of, he plays the banjo, so he promptly found a bluegrass band in Japan to play with. So we're going to get him, maybe we can get him to sit in with the banjo for us on that Sunday that he's here. So, but that's coming. So we're thankful for our Southern Baptist missionaries. Beyond that, we're also thankful for those in our faith family that give to the Advance 2020 Fund so that we can continue to partner with specific missionaries around the world. And just a reminder, if you're a guest today, let me tell you about our specific partnerships. We have partners in Alaska. We have a partnership in Atlantic City, New Jersey. We have partners right here in Albertville. That's the Real Life Crisis Pregnancy Center, the Messiah Haitian Church, Marshall Baptist Association, the Great Physician Clinic, Marshall Christian Services, Second Chance Food Pantry. Then we also have a partnership in Central Asia. We had some folks that went there just a couple of weeks ago. They'll share in a moment. We have a partnership in the Dominican Republic, a partnership in Kenya, a partnership in Lebanon, another partnership in a closed area of the Middle East, a partnership in Senegal, West Africa, and one in Uganda with an orphanage and Christian school and new church planting network. So it's exciting that we get to be a part of all those things around the world. And it was John Piper, Pastor John Piper, who said this: all the money needed to send out and support an army of self-sacrificing, joy-spreading ambassadors is already in the church. And it's true. If the global church would get behind the gospel mandate for the world to know Christ, listen, I'll be quite honest. I believe there's enough funds and people in the American church alone that the world could come to know Christ. We're blessed beyond measure. So what will we do as a faith family? We'll continue to pray for our missionaries, our church planters, for our nation, for our city. We will continue to give, and we're thankful that you do that. And we will continue to go. We'll continue to make a difference other places. So today, a short, about a 5-minute recap from each of our teams that served in different places. And our first team happened actually in late spring. And that was a group of 3 ladies that bravely went to serve in Lebanon. It was wonderful for them to go and share. And so they're going to come and share now. Miss Sarah, is she first? Or yes. Are you behind me? I'm sorry. Thank you. Miss Sarah Blakeney, everyone. Come on.
Morning, church. How are y'all? Do we have pictures?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to read a little bit because I'm not a speaker. Katie Brown, Katie Roden, and I went to Tyre in southern Lebanon in April. Tyre is also called Sour. I think the first picture is the big sign of us. There it is. It is an ancient city that was inhabited by the Phoenicians and the Romans. The Bible tells us that Jesus even visited Tyre, noting that he healed a little girl in Mark 7. The 3 of us went to work with Chris and Kim Todd. Some of you are very familiar with them. For those of you that aren't, they run an educational program for Syrian refugee women and children who have been displaced from the civil war and have taken refuge in Lebanon, among other things they do in Tyre. They mainly work in 3 different refugee camps, teaching the women and children Arabic, math, and Bible. Our mission trip, the 3 of us, really wanted to focus on mothers, as all 3 of us have young children. So we brought vitamins that this amazing church helped us collect, and some of our community partners really helped us pack suitcases full of vitamins to send. Then we put together some goodie bags for new moms with some baby supplies and nursing supplies in them. Then we spent our time visiting with the new moms and praying for them, coaching them in nursing, nutrition, and just generally loving on them and their families. This is Chris with baby Miriam. We visited a lot in their homes. So this is a refugee tent. It's a concrete slab, plastic walls, tires on the roof so it doesn't blow away. Katie, who's not here with us more, and she's at work, really felt burdened, and you can jump in here, to teach them about nutrition and nursing. Most of these women aren't doing it correctly. So you want to jump in?
Oh, you got a hospital.
Yes, next turn.
Oh, I was just going to jump in, and there's
Sarah putting face tattoos on the children. They loved it.
And Katie with a
sweet baby. Yes, we held lots of babies. The next one. I'm just jumping in to say that I guess 4 years ago, and the reason that Katie Brown got this team together, and the reason in 2016 I thought that I would go on my own but ended up with 2 amazing people that went with me, I was sitting back there in that back, and Chris Todd stood right here, and he talked to us about how these women who are refugees from Syria have, you know, no rights as citizens. They go into the hospital, they give birth, they pay their bill, or they leave without their baby. So you either pay your bill or you go door to door and you beg for money to take back to the hospital to take your newborn baby. So every woman in here can relate to the day you were in the hospital and imagine leaving the next day, but not with your beautiful new baby, but to go and beg for the money to come back and pay for your child. So the Todds, they facilitate this other program where they take donations to go into the hospital and help these women go home with their child instead of without their child. And that was the story that, you know, was laid on my heart that made me say, okay, I'm gonna go. And then 3 years later, Katie Brown hears the same exact story, and she's a new young mother, and she says, oh my goodness, I have to see this for myself. So we did.
So the three of us joined together and worked it out. So Pastor Chris asked all of us to tell you how you can be praying for these areas. Pray for the Todds, that the Holy Spirit will fall in Lebanon and the war in Syria will come to a peaceful ending. Pray for the three teachers that serve in the Todds ministry. Sorry. It's close to our hearts. That they will be bold and wise in their faith. Pray for the men that they encounter, that they will come to seek Isa, Jesus. We went to Lebanon, and even to my surprise, we never shared a testimony. We never shared a Bible verse. We couldn't speak to them. Much like in other areas of the world, you can't just walk up to someone and throw Jesus in their face. But we did hold babies. We held a lot of babies. And we played with kids. And we loved on women. And anybody can do that. It doesn't take a theological degree to do that. So some of the women we went and encountered asked us to come back and tell our men to come. They have lots of women visit them. They don't have a lot of men come. And their men need to see our men, loving our women in a biblical, godly way. So I know there's another trip being planned in the spring. Pastor Chris is going to lead, and one of us is probably going to go on. If you want to know more, come talk to us. Thank you for loving on us, for praying for us, for loving on our babies while we were gone. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. There are a number of Muslims coming to Jesus in the Tyre region. It's hard to believe and fathom. You've heard from Chris recently, so I won't tell the stories again, but many Muslims are giving their life to the Lord. It is not all as the media portrays. There are people who are open for the gospel. And reality is, they never heard the gospel. And so it's important that we continue to pray, we continue to give, we continue to go. What I've learned in different parts of the world is not often that people are closed. Sometimes they are closed to the message, but quite often they're listening to whoever is speaking the loudest. And so may we be the one to speak the loudest the name of Jesus. Who has the power to raise the dead? Who can save us from our sins? He is our hope. He is our righteousness. He is Jesus, only Jesus. Let's stand together and sing that song.
Yeah. I'm here to share with you about our Kentucky mission trip, which is our family trip and kids trip. There's just going to be some pictures scrolling on the screen, so you can look at those while I speak. The one thing about this trip is it's multi-generational. We had, I'm single family member, went on the trip, and then we had a three-generation team, our family, the Raines. If I could just ask all of those who served on the Kentucky mission trip just to stand up for a moment. So you can see, the youngest was 3 years old, and I tell you, he served just like an adult at 3 years old, so it was pretty amazing. This was our third trip and final trip to Kentucky. We have been able to really just see what things that Jesus has done through this three-year partnership. The first year we went, they were in survival mode. They were just trying to meet the needs of the people in their community. We came in and they said, wow, you all are trained and you're serving from kids to senior adults. We want to get there with our church, but we didn't think that we could because they were just surviving. So we came in. We ministered to the women, to the men. We took the kids and just loved on them and played with them and went back the second year. Some of the things that the women and men did with them the first year, they tried that in their church. They still continue today to have praise art classes. They do those on the first Friday of the month. So that's a community thing. They just let anybody from the community come. They do it as an outreach, and then they learn, more about the people there. The second year was a record-breaking year for the church in attendance. They had the most attendance they had ever had in the history of the church. So that was really good because people were excited about some of the things that the church in Kentucky was already reaching out in the community saying, come. And then when they said, Alabama's coming, you need to experience this. So we started a food pantry. You all helped us to build the library, which is a great need there. They don't have internet and things like that out in the community. So they are using the library as an outreach. And then we also shared with them or showed them how to do some discipleship. So we kind of left that with them. We showed them, and then they in turn started discipling their church members and training them for mission. And this year was the third year that we went back. The youth did a clothes closet. Built a clothes closet for them to also to continue to meet needs, but use that not just to meet needs, but also to train people and bring them in to the fellowship. They also, this year, after we left them, they came on mission. So they went from surviving thinking they could never do it, to now, this year, they came on mission. They went to Gadsden and helped a church there do vacation Bible school. And they didn't think they could, but now they are really excited. And so we just want to pray that they continue to train and to go. Because, they're doing a great job at that. But while we were there this year, we did. Carolyn Raines spoke to the WMU. And she can explain to you a lot about that better, but their circle is called the Fannie Hex Circle, and our WMU here just recently released a book on that. Rosalie Hunt did. So it was an exciting opportunity for Carolyn to have just gone through that and to take it there and tell them, here's your roots. So they enjoyed that. The city welcomed us, and that, as they have every year, with a proclamation They're so excited to have us to come and to make a difference in their community and be an example for their people. We did Vacation Bible School. We did lots of community outreach with city beautification. We did a family fun day in the park, which was the first one that had been done like that. So we had a larger crowd than we were expecting. I think we did 300 hot dogs. Mike Williams grilled all day, him and Brian and Thomas and some of them. So, but it was because some of the community leaders were coming and they said, wow, people will come out for something like this. Christy Rain did a little parenting workshop while we played with the kids and made snow cones and all of that type of stuff. So it was great for their community, and they're actually planning one for back to school this year. We had a fun cultural experience this year, and there is some pictures and stuff set up in the atrium, and I'll be taking that down today, but if you want to look at some of the things that we have experienced and done there, you're welcome to do that. But really, you know, it's just been amazing to see how God has carried out this plan. We, of course, had lots of plans, but from our first year, the number one thing we said from Dan Sparkman was to be as flexible as liquid. And we learned that we had to be. This year, one of the days, we had a big storm that came through and knocked the power out. A tree came down across the road where some of the kids had to be picked up for Vacation Bible School. But it took too long for them to go around, so they told those kids that they just wouldn't be able to get them. Some of the kids walked to the tree, climbed over the tree, and the van picked them up there. And then we didn't have any power. But luckily, Grace and Cody and Neilene and them had cooked all the supper in town, because we were working at two different churches. One was in town, and so all of the supper was cooked. So we just had to load it up and take it out there. So we had something to eat. We didn't have any electricity. The ladies found tons of different candles and stuff because they were in the basement, and they did that. But the kids didn't even notice. But some of them are used to not having electricity. So it was no big deal for them. But it has been an excellent partnership. We don't know where the Lord's leading for the children and their families for next year. But we're thankful that many, many of you had a hand in sending us, providing us with supplies and projects so that we could carry out the work that God had for us there. And so maybe next year they'll come here and help us through Vacation Bible School and serve at the Cahill Ministry Center. I know they did serve this year when they came with Michael over at the homeless shelter, but it's been a great experience. So thank you all for allowing it to happen. And now Justin is coming up with Students Missions to the Max. Thank you.
Thank you, Miss Karen. I love the intergenerational opportunities our families have been able to do with mission trips. And so we're going to be a little closer to home with our students. You'll see some pictures playing. Every year we host what is called Missions to the Max, which is our local mission project opportunity. And I'm just going to tell you some of the different projects that our students were able to participate in. We had about 15 to 20 different students and adults that flowed in and out throughout the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at the beginning of July that we took part of these projects. And for those who don't know, our students have an opportunity as well as parents to join along with them. Every other year we go on a mission camp somewhere around the United States. And of course, last year was the first time since I've been here as the youth pastor that we were able to take a group of students and parents out of the country when we went to the Dominican Republic, which was an amazing experience. So because every other year we're doing mission projects around the local states, every year we host what is called Missions to the Max, which is our local service project opportunity. Now you might think I'm crazy, but what we do with this is we do projects throughout the day, and then we come back to the church or somebody's house like we've done in years past, and the guys will stay in one room or at one house and the girls will stay at another, and we'll do a lock-in. So this year we were at the church till late at night, And I don't know why lock-ins were invented or why this youth pastor thinks that they're still cool, but we did. We worked all day Monday, spent the night in the church Monday night, went to work Tuesday, spent the night in the church Tuesday night, and then after church Wednesday night, went home to our own beds and praised the Lord for several hours that night. But the projects that we took part in, besides the fun that we had in the evenings of the lock-in and different people's houses, we did pool parties and different Sunday school classes provided meals for us, and we're very thankful for that. But the projects for this year, on Monday we began with our first project. You just saw pictures of Second Chance Ministries. We spent some time at the food pantry organizing things and mopping and cleaning up their children's area, which is used by the moms who attend the Christian Women's Job Corps Bible study and training that happens throughout the fall and the spring semester. And then after that, we went over to Second Chance Thrift Store, and we helped organize some things within the thrift store, and they've got piles of donations that we were able to bring down to a minuscule amount of donations still need to be gone through. After that, after a lunch break, we went to Shepherd's Cove Hospice. And for the first time, we've partnered with them, and they have a garden in the back where families would come and spend time just reflecting, because, you know, that's kind of the end-of-life phase for a lot of families and those who are a part of that hospice house and involved and staying there at the time in their life. So we had a chance to weed the garden and spend time praying over and doing some work in the back, which is called Gail's Garden of Shepherd's Cove Hospice. And then after that, we went over to a partner with Keep Albertville Beautiful, and we did some cleanup downtown and spent a lot of time picking up trash and cigarette buds and things down Main Street right here outside of where the church is located. On Tuesday, our first project was with the Real Life Pregnancy Center. We partnered with Miss Sharon Ainsworth and other volunteers like Miss Carrie who were there. And we were able to organize the clothing. The students were also able to hear about the ministry and the opportunities that they have to minister to so many moms and dads and families during this time in their lives. And we also did a lot of yard work on the outside because there was a lot of overgrowth into their parking lot at the Albertville location here in town. My favorite part, and when I asked the students what their favorite part was of this week, my favorite part, and their favorite part as well, was on Tuesday afternoon when we got to visit some of our homebound folks. We broke up into two different groups, and Daniel Williams was one of the adult volunteers who helped us during that week. He took some students to DiversiCare and visited folks like Bob Gillibo. I was able to go to Branchwater and visit folks like Jack Pritchett and Miss Marion Norris. We were able to go to individual homes and visit and do some yard work for people like Miss Sharon Walker, and over to Bridgewood Gardens, formerly known as Merrill Gardens, and visit people like Buddy Miller. So that was probably just spend time listening to their stories, spend time praying for them, and the students getting to know some of these older folks who a lot of times are not able to leave their homes and be a part of worship service here on a Sunday morning, Wednesday night. It was such a special experience, and I know it was for those students as well. So we're going to do that again this month at the end of the month, and I encourage anybody who wants to join our students as we do that, we'd love for you to go with us. And then, of course, you just saw pictures on Wednesday morning. We traveled over to Huntsville, the furthest location we partner with during this Missions to the Max experience, and worked with the Downtown Rescue Mission, got a tour of the facilities, as well as did some paperwork and things, helped with their food pantry and different projects going on there, and we were able to pray with each of the individuals that represented each of these organizations. So not only did we do some mission work for a lot of these mission organizations that our church partners with throughout the community, but these students were exposed to the ministries, heard about the ministries and what they do in our community, and we stopped and prayed for the individuals we had the opportunity to partner with at each of those ministry places every time we did a project. So I'm excited that the students had this experience, that several parents jumped on board with us when they were able. And just keep praying that our students would not only see the work that's happening around our city and our state and our world, but they would also realize that they could partner with that as well. So I am thankful for Missions to the Max and the opportunity that our students had to be a part of that. So as we transition now into another worship song, you know, we realized as we served these different local partners, local ministry partners, we realized that we've heard of people who've traveled around the world to partner with different partners all throughout the world, that we serve one King, and He is the only King. And He is the reason that these organizations we've partnered with exist. He is the reason that this church exists, and he's the reason that these mission efforts that you're hearing about today exist, so that others may know him as the king and would crown him the king in their own hearts. So that's our prayer for you today, and that's our prayer for all these mission projects that we've been able to be a part of. Can we pray together now? So Lord, we thank you that you are king. We thank you for what you're doing around the world. We thank you for what you're doing around the United States. And we thank you for what you're doing through our students and families around our city. God, most of all, help us to make every opportunity, whether it's at work, in our place of business, whether it's throughout our community as we're involved in activities, whether it's when we're out to lunch this afternoon, or whether it's traveling across the world on a mission trip. God, help us to make every opportunity to use our words, to use our lives, to represent you, our King, to show that you are a personal King, and to allow others to make you the King of their hearts. So, Father, today as we worship, today as we share, today as we give testimony, may it be about you, our King. May we crown you, because you are the King, and we worship you now. In Jesus' name we pray.
Stand with us as we sing this song together. It's not my life to live. It's not my song to sing. And all I have is His for all eternity. It's not my righteousness, it's not my faithfulness, and all I have is here for all eternity. We will crown Him. Crown him, crown him, Lord of all. Crown him, crown him, Jesus.
Our next group went to Alaska. We had 8 people that served in Alaska over the week of the 4th of July. And there'll be a few pictures just random to show. And I want to share just about 3 minutes quickly with you. Alaska has a population of 736,000 people. It's one of our smallest states when it comes to population in our nation, but by all means, it's the largest in landmass, which makes it difficult to share the gospel with multiple people there. In fact, Alaska's so big that if you cut it in half and made it into 2 states, Texas would be the 3rd largest state. So if you're from Texas, sorry, I hope that doesn't offend you. Out of the 736,000 people, 300,000 of them live in one city. All the rest are spread out in small villages. They live in Anchorage. Anchorage is known, Alaska is known as the last frontier. Has a very rugged landscape with only one major road that runs from north to south. Most of the villages and cities cannot be accessed by road. You have to do it by plane or seaplane or boat to get there. It's truly a different world from the rest of the United States. But it's more than just a last frontier because of the landscape. Alaska is also an American last frontier for another reason. Anchorage is one of the most diverse cities in the United States. The middle school where our church planters, Preston and Megan Egler, help and volunteer and serve and are trying to do ministry in that one middle school, they speak over 100 different languages in the homes of those families. With this diversity comes this incredible number of religions as well and religious views. So there's a very great need for the gospel to be shared and for new churches to be planted there in Alaska. So what we did, multiple things, we helped with ministry in 3 local parks. They have a wonderful park system that they use in the summer because it's so cold and dark the rest of the year. People want to be outside, so it's a great place for ministry. So we provided meals for different individuals. We had conversations with them, activities for the children. And we had a great opportunity to meet them in the name of Adelphoi Church, the new church plant. We helped with prayer walking and canvassing in multiple neighborhoods, going door to door, inviting people to a block party, but also just praying for people we came in contact with. We prepped for a blessing day that was happening for teachers at Wonder Park Elementary School. You provided the resources for all the items that they'll be given as a blessing day. And then they're going to share that with them in just a couple of weeks. I'm looking at the date here. They're a couple of weeks away from school starting. And so they'll be giving those. And we've helped make that happen. And we're thankful that you did so. We conducted a block party at Wonder Park. And the gospel was shared multiple times there in multiple ways through what we call Bible candy, Sandy candy. We shared the gospel in other ways as well. And then we got to spend some time with their small congregation, and they are small, but it was a wonderful time to be able to meet them, to encourage them, to interact with them. And then the blessing of all was to love on and minister to the Egler family and their other leaders. So our Advance 2020 prayer support and financial support is making a real difference there in Anchorage. So here's what I'll ask you to pray for. Pray for the Eglers. They have a new baby. So now there are 3 little girls under the age of 5. And so they've got their hands full, and it's a wonderful family unit. The girls are great, but it's a lot for them to do that and try to plant a church at the same time. Pray for them not to be lonely and feel isolated, because they're in a place where it's easy as a Christian leader to feel isolated. Pray for depression, because the spiritual attack that takes place, and then you have the other physical attacks as well from it being so dark throughout the winter and so cold, it brings on seasonal depression. It brings on other things. You can feel very alone there. So pray for Preston and Megan. Pray for opportunities to meet people in the community. They will continue to let people know who they are and why they're there, and the gospel can be shared. Pray for the finances to purchase a community center building. They have a location picked out they're praying about and praying for, but the money's needed to make it happen. And it would help them with their ministry to at-risk students and give them a hub for their church ministry as well. Right now, their church meets in their garage, and so they meet right there in their home with them. But as they grow, they will quickly outgrow that. Pray specifically for God to send mature believers to partner with them. They have a great need for mature leadership. They cannot do it alone. The Eglers will be back with us in January for our Advance 2020 conference. And so we're planning another mission trip there next August for sure as well. So there'll be other opportunities for you to interact with them, and we encourage you to do so. Would you join me in praying really quickly for the Alaska group? Father God, I pray that you would be with Preston and Megan, that you would strengthen that core group of believers, that you would send to others to come to know you there. Father, that men and women, boys and girls would give their lives to you. Father, that the great work that has already started and has been going on in Alaska will continue and be strengthened by Adelphoi Church and others like it. Lord, that we can be a part of seeing multiple nations and peoples come to know you, even through that one city of Anchorage. Thank you for the privilege to be a part of that. It is such a beautiful area and such beautiful people. People you created in your image, and we know you desire a relationship with them. So Father, we ask that you would help them to come to know you. Draw men and women to yourself. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our last major trip before we sent just a couple of people somewhere was to the Dominican Republic. So I'll ask Summer Warden to come and share about the work in the Dominican Republic.
So we had seven of us go to the Dominican. We had Don Blakeney, who, bless his heart, was our only man that went. He was left with six women and three teenage girls. So I think we kept him in line, Sarah. I think we did pretty good with that. So one of the things that we did was one of our first full day in the Dominican was we went to the garbage dump. And you want to talk about an overwhelming and humbling time. Right before we got there, there was a truck that pulled in. They call it the Golden Truck. And the Golden Truck is a truck that comes from one of the local grocery stores there. And it has expired food, fruit that is rotting. And they, of course, bring it to the dump. And that is, you know, that's their gold mine for the week. And so right before we pulled in, the Golden Truck pulled in. And so when we pulled into the dump, of course, you saw just multitude of people surrounding and digging and pulling and it was just very, I don't know, there's really not, unless you've been there, there's just really not a word to describe it. But while we were there, we handed out some hot soup. We handed out peanut butter sandwiches. And one of the interns that were there actually brought a guitar. And so Don was playing some worship songs. And we had a couple of people that came up and started singing some hymns in Spanish, and so Don was able to find the chord and play with them, and one of the men that we met, our team named him James Bond, so we would remember his name is Jabon, so only reason I'm able to remember it, thank you Patsy and Tracy for doing that, but he was sharing about how this has been his life, you know, for as long as he can know, and then he was a Christian. And just the joy in his eyes as he talked about his love for Jesus was incredible. But then to make the transition from, okay, here's where I live and this is my, these are my circumstances, to the contrast of heaven and where he's going to be one day was just very, very eye-opening, very humbling again, and just really kind of set the tone for our trip as far as what we were going to experience the rest of the week. The rest of the week, we did a lot of home visits in some different villages. We went to houses and knocked on the door, and one of us would introduce ourselves, and then we would pray with them. We would give them some rice, and we'd give them some oil to keep. We did a lot of playing with children at VBS. Our theme for the week, Emily wanted me to share, was Sea la Luz, which is be the light, and so it was definitely It was a great week playing with these kids and going to out into the communities and playing with them. At one of our house visits, I don't know if the picture's gone through or not, we had an interesting encounter with a woman who in Valador. And Valador's kind of up on a mountain. Nice breeze up there with it being so hot. But they had never visited this woman's house before. And so we went up to the house. And going up to her house, there's this incline. And so we kind of, you know, made our way up, and she invited us into her house. She found chairs, and of course, we're all crammed in this little house. And so she's showing us or she's telling us some of the needs that she has, one of which is her house has a big crack where her and her kids sleep from, she says, an earthquake that had happened, just a minor one, but it caused a big crack in her cement wall. And her fear is if something happens, another earthquake comes through, that wall will fall on her children while they're sleeping. And so just the reality of some of the conditions that some of these people are living in. While we were there, she was also telling us about a surgery that she had. And just the day before, and how it was just kind of already getting a little infected, and wanted us to pray for her with that. And so we did. Well, I'm the last one walking out of the house. And of course, I have two left feet already. And probably should have been wearing tennis shoes that day and was not. And I actually fell down that incline and scraped up my leg pretty good. And one of the interns had some Band-Aids, and she pulls out some antibiotic or some Neosporin. And we're putting it on there, and the lady walks out, and she translates with our translator, "Hey, would that work for my incision that's, you know, getting infected?" The intern had forgot that she had it until I fell. So had I not fallen, we wouldn't have been able to give this to that woman. So, you know, we went and suffered for Jesus some too. And the last story I want to tell you that really just, I think, had an impact on everyone that went was the street ministry. It was absolutely incredible to be standing on the side of the street. And these women who were there, of course, dressed up and waiting for rides, and of course, would just come up in droves and want to be prayed for. Of course, they have a relationship with Elizabeth, and Elizabeth's there every week. And so we got to pray for them. And two of the women that we prayed for, which I know just really, even now, kind of gets to me, is we had this young lady that came up who was 18. And of course, you know, we say we want to pray with her, and she's very much like, not really about this, very resistant to it. Well, in the meantime, as Elizabeth's talking to her, another lady comes up. And so we're talking with her, and these two women kind of get into an argument, and they're kind of going back and forth, and we're kind of like, what is going on? You know, do they not like, you know, we didn't know. It turns out they didn't know each other. This other woman was 24 and had a kid at home. And so she's telling this 18-year-old, you don't want this life. This is not the life that you want. And of course, the 18-year-old is, this is exactly what I want to be doing. And so they were kind of going back and forth, you know, you don't want this. The only reason I'm here is because I have a child to feed. That's the only reason I'm having to do what I'm doing. And so about that time, Elizabeth turns and kind of looks at me, and she's like, will you pray over them? And I'm going, I don't even know what to pray. I mean, I kind of just lost what I wanted to say. Or how do you pray? How do you pray for that situation? And so in my mind, I'm like, okay, Lord, you're just really going to have to pray, you know, through me, because I don't know what to pray. And so we went to pray, and just the Spirit of the Lord was so thick in that moment. And it was like, I felt like he just kind of took over my words. And I was praying and weeping and just praying that, you know, God made them in his image, that they're fearfully and wonderfully made, that God has a plan for them, a plan as for a hope and a future, not to harm them, no evil. And it was just an incredible moment of just allowing the Spirit to move. And I know, especially, I don't think anyone left there with a dry eye, because you knew what these girls were there for. And even my own daughter, who was crying, you know, I'm like, are you okay? And she's like, I'm scared for those girls, you know, and girls who were her age, you know. It was so eye-opening. And so I don't know where you're at as far as ever feeling led to go on a mission trip. And you might be like me. My story is, last fall I felt led to go to the DR, and as the moment came closer to put down my deposit, I kind of chickened out, and I thought, no, I'm going to go to Alaska. I'm going to stay in the United States and, you know, keep it, play it safe or whatever. And turns out that the dates. Ended up conflicting with something else, and I couldn't go. And it was like, God's like, oh, you're going to the Dominican. And so I sat down with Justin, and I said, okay, I'm just going to go. And I later said, how do you feel about me asking Emily to go? And he said, I think it'd be great. And so I went and talked to Emily. Hey, I want you to pray about going with me to the Dominican. And of course, she's like, I don't even have to pray about it. I've been praying about it, that God would allow me to go. And so it was just, God meant for us to go, and God meant for us to be there. And it was, you go there expecting to bless people. You go there thinking, I'm going to go in and I'm going to love on these people. But you end up being loved on. You end up coming back just overwhelmed by how little they have, but how much joy that they have. That's absolutely incredible. And so as we're getting ready to sing this next song, you know, you think about the word mercy, and mercy, you know, having compassion. And of course, we went there having compassion, but then you think about the Lord and how His mercy for us is so much more. And for that, I am so very grateful. Thank you to those who prayed. Thank you to those who supported us. It was an awesome trip.
If you are watching online or on our live stream, we're going to end it at this point for security reasons. So encourage you. Thank you for watching, and we'll be back next week.